Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, 15% off your first order with code WONDERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
President Trump this morning cited differences of opinions on the Iran nuclear deal as motivation for firing Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. You see, Tillerson thinks the Iran nuclear deal is necessary for global stability, while Trump thinks Iran is Iraq.
Hi, welcome to the Late Night with Seth Meyers podcast. My name is Henry Melcher. I'm a producer at the show. So it happened. Rex Tillerson officially got fired today. So Seth has a couple things to say about that. Following his couple things, he sits down with CNN's chief international correspondent, Christiane Amanpour, who has a lot to say about the major breaking news that was Rex Tillerson being fired by Donald Trump. After that, I continue the conversation with Christiane backstage about Tillerson and her work as a reporter. But first, Seth's couple things on the day of Rex Tillerson being fired.
President Trump has fired Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, which brings us to a segment we call Couple Things. First thing, Tillerson found out that he was fired from a Trump tweet. Even when you get fired from Domino's, the manager takes you into that crappy little office and tells you to your face. Tweets are for finding out which band is in town or which airline was mean to Chrissy Teigen. And of course, Trump didn't fire Tillerson to his face, just like he didn't fire James Comey to his face. Basically, if you're over 6 feet tall, Trump wants no part of giving you bad news. That's why he's jumping at the chance to meet with Kim Jong-un. He's how short? Oh, I'll look like a giant next to him. Second thing. I'm not saying Rex Tillerson was a great Secretary of State. He had the energy of a 14-year-old bloodhound on his third mint julep. He always looked like he was walking through a fart cloud. But if you're gonna fire cabinet secretaries for being bad at their jobs, let me refer you to Betsy DeVos's appearance on 60 Minutes. Not only was she wildly uninformed, but 60 Minutes is also her longest workday so far. Also, side thing, why fire Tillerson today? Well, just yesterday, Tillerson said the attempted poisoning of an ex-spy in London, quote, clearly came from Russia, and that the incident will trigger a response. Hey, he just didn't know the response would be, clean out your desk. Third thing, hopefully what we're seeing with the resignation of Gary Cohn and the firing of Rex Tillerson is the end of this myth that serious people can rein in Donald Trump. If the White House is a fraternity in an 80s movie, Tillerson was the dean. And the dean never wins in an 80s movie. Now listen up, Delta House. I'm going out of town for a business trip. And I don't want trouble while I'm gone. Oh, sure thing, Dean Tillerson, I promise. I promise we won't do anything to get you fired. Final thing, the only thing more puzzling than people agreeing to work for Donald Trump 18 months ago are people who are agreeing to work for him now. I mean, I get the first few ninjas who thought they could take down Uma Thurman and Kill Bill, but what was the last guy thinking? Oh, I get it, if I come at her from the right. Also, I'll yell first. And don't get me wrong, I do feel some sympathy for the Cones and Tillersons of this administration, but in the same way I feel sympathy when someone gets attacked by a gorilla at the zoo. And that my first thought is, oh, that's horrible. And my second thought is, why'd you go into the gorilla cage? We did a couple things. Our guest is an award-winning journalist and CNN's chief international correspondent. Her new series, Sex and Love Around the World, premieres Saturday at 10 p.m. on CNN. Please welcome to the show, Christiane Amanpour, everyone. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Seth?
Good. Before we talk about your show, just because I have you here on the day that Rex Tillerson was fired, you obviously are an international reporter. You've been all around the world. How do you think this will play in the rest of the world, the fact that someone who is at least to some considered an adult in the room in the Trump administration?
Well, you've just hit the nail on the head. That is what most foreign leaders sort of look to Rex Tillerson, along with General Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, and General McMaster at the National Security, as the sort of group that keeps the ship of state from capsizing. So I don't know what the rest of the world's going to think. But, you know, for a long, long time, we've seen Rex Tillerson and President Trump essentially butt heads.
Yeah.
Right? They are nowhere near close on policy. Tillerson has his own sort of more diplomatic agenda. You remember even during the whole sort of tweeting back and forth with Kim Jong-un, Tillerson was talking about let's have diplomacy. And Trump said, well, no. What if I don't want to have diplomacy?
Yeah.
So
it was a very strange thing to watch happen on a social media platform.
It was. And I don't really understand this because, you know, it was tweeted, the firing, and then Tillerson said he hadn't spoken to the president, and then the White House said they had told him on Friday. I don't know. This thing has been telegraphed for months.
Yes. It did not seem like it would end well. I want to ask you this. So you've traveled everywhere. You've interviewed world leaders, dictators. You've been in war zones. Is it even a little bit more intimidating talking to people about their sex lives, which you do on this show?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. My comfort zone is much more in the area of snipers and shellers and dictators and people like that. So when I get face-to-face with just wonderful, ordinary men and women, mostly women, because this is done through the perspective of women and young girls, and I'm actually asking the kind of questions that I don't usually talk about on television, if at all, by the way, in any event. So it was, you know, it was a little scary.
Well,
it was
nice that it was a show, because otherwise you would just be a creepy lady in restaurants.
Well, there you go.
You need a camera crew.
I needed a camera crew. I know, every 2 seconds. I mean, in Germany, for instance, in one of the episodes, I'm in Berlin, which has this edgy reputation of being, you know, on the front line of all sorts of creative buzz. And I went to what they told me was a BDSM event. And it was in this lovely studio with lights through the windows, a little bit like this, actually. And it looked to me like sort of an afternoon yoga session until all of a sudden the guy comes up and throws ropes around me. And I'm meant to sort of, I don't know what I'm meant to do, but I do what I normally do, which is pretend nothing out of the ordinary is happening.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And I continue to interview him. But he says to me, because I keep asking these questions, he obviously thought I was creepy. He said, you're a bit obsessed by sex, aren't you? And I said, well, you know, that's what this whole program's about. So, yeah.
It's weird that no one told him that ahead of time.
I know. Yeah. I know. We had some naked ping pong going, too.
Oh, really?
Good. Yeah.
And did you play?
I did play. Yeah. You'll have to wait and see as to what state of undress I'm in.
Okay, gotcha.
But certainly, my eyes were woo.
Yeah. They'd say that it helps you focus on the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was focused
on
the game.
When other stuff is flopping around.
Yeah, yeah.
You had a fascinating conversation in India with women about Tinder and how Tinder has actually been a game changer in India, maybe more than anywhere else.
Well, to be honest with you, it is extraordinary, India and many other places. Because let's face it, the rest of the world is slightly behind the United States and the West when it comes to sexual expression, women and sexual fulfillment and what they think they can ask for themselves, right? Because now that they've got their economic sort of wherewithal, now they're focusing on personal happiness. And of course, they have Tinder. They have all these things. And they say it's like a revolution for them. You know, boo, that she was showing me this, like, you know, whatever it is, swipe, swipe, swipe. And she... And she found her husband. They were so cute, these people. They were so cute. They just like to smile and make tea for each other.
And maybe, though, not... they kind of come to the conclusion that it's great for women in India. Yeah. The guys maybe are not as psyched about it.
Well, not as psyched. But you know what? The brilliant thing is, and, you know, it's just such an amazing thing that this series happens in the midst of the Me Too movement.
Sure.
Because it's so important to watch these young women who most people talk to about them as being victims, as being unable to be agents of their own, you know, happiness and all the rest of it. I found that they were very much agents of their own happiness, their own sense of safety, their own sense of, you know, sexual, you know, fulfillment. And what's really fantastic is that younger girls in all these parts of the world are just doing so much better in that domain than their parents in the previous generations.
Well, they certainly are empowered, which is just wonderful to watch.
Yes.
And they're fascinating conversations. I'm so glad that you get to do a show that's not about the stuff that you always get to
do. It's a break.
It's a nice break, and you certainly deserve it. Thank you so much for being here.
Such a pleasure, Seth,
having you.
Thank you.
Christiane Amanpour, everybody. Sex and Love Around the World premieres Saturday at 10 p.m. on CNN.
Hey, everybody, this is Henry from Late Night. I'm here with Christiane Amanpour from CNN. So today's kind of a crazy news day. Taylor Swift was fired this morning via Twitter. When there are these major breaking stories like today, how does your day evolve?
Well, it evolves in a very sort of crazy way because you never quite know where the next direction is going to be. And because anything President Trump does absorbs all the oxygen of all the media all the time, when you get a really big story like this, which requires analysis, which requires, you know, dealing with what it means for Korea, for Iran, for Russia and all the rest of it, it just gets, you know, kind of crazy.
I can imagine. Every day must be crazy, but it seems like these big, big days are different.
Well, we knew that this was going to happen, and then we had to obviously reorganize our schedule and our guest lineup for my own show, Amanpour, which, as you know, goes overseas on CNN International, but also now on PBS, which is just wonderful because I get to do this sort of international look at the world for an American audience as well. And that's kind of vital, I think, these days with so much going on. But it was interesting because I had an interview with Victoria Nuland. Now, she was an assistant secretary of state under the Obama administration. And she actually surprised me. She said, in so many words, good riddance. She basically said that Tillerson had failed, that he had not been able to put his vision across, that he was not close enough to the president to be able to influence the president, you know, in terms of foreign policy, or even have a meeting of the minds so that they could actually formulate policy together. And I said, well, what do you say to the leaders around the world who look at Rex Tillerson along with General H.R. McMaster and General James Mattis as the stabilizers who prevent the ship of state from capsizing? And she said, it's all well and good for foreign leaders to think that, but if the Secretary of State can't get his viewpoint across, if he doesn't have a personal relationship with the president, well, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Right. And then, of course, she said that he had gutted the State Department on his watch. And so there was really no infrastructure. And Pompeo, the current CIA director, who will be Secretary of State, I guess, pending approval by the Senate confirmation, has a much closer relationship with President Trump, has briefed him over and over again on the daily briefing. Right. And Trump has spoken about their sort of intellectual closeness in the past. But of course, he's much more of a neocon.
Right. And those are the, it seems like the reporting today is like those are the people kind of Trump likes having around him, the people that already kind of share his worldview. He doesn't seem to like to be challenged by others.
You know, we'll see how it goes. But I mean, you are right to an extent. What worries me is that President Trump, in announcing the firing of Rex Tillerson, basically used as one of the rationales the fact that they disagreed on the Iranian nuclear deal.
Yeah.
So that actually worries me because most of the world, if not all the world, except for Israel and the Republican Party and the Republican president of the United States, most of the world likes this deal because although it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, and it does not encompass all the issues that the world has with Iran, it does address the most serious, and that is the threat or the fear that Iran would have developed a nuclear weapons program. This deal prevents it. So you can imagine if you pull out of that and the president has another deadline on May 12th to decide whether to stay in it or not, at the same time as you're trying to persuade North Korea to go into precisely, not the same, but a much more complicated negotiation.
Right.
Because they actually have nuclear weapons and intercontinental ballistic missile technology, which Iran doesn't.
So you talk about the Iran deal, the U.S. being, if the U.S. was to pull out, that'd be one of the kind of only countries in this pact to pull out. You also have the
only
Paris,
country.
The only, right, of course. The Paris climate deal where the only one or...
The only.
I think the only again.
The
only
now.
I think it was Syria, but now it's the only.
Yeah, and they've joined in now.
So what is kind of the global view of United States leadership when you think about these global agreements where we're not involved?
Well, look, it's not good and it's unprecedented because The world still needs America to lead. America still is the heavy lifting country. It still is the country that is the richest, the most powerful, the biggest, and all of that. It is the country which you know, helped create the post-World War II so-called liberal world order. And if the U.S. is retreating in terms of leadership, it begs the question of who fills the vacuum. And the vacuum is going to be filled by China. That's what all the analysts and experts believe. And do we actually want to live in a China-dominated world? Do we? Is China the country that espouses the values of American people, of Western people, the values not only of democracy, but of human rights, of you know, all sorts of ways that we have got used to living?
Right. I want to ask about your trajectory of reporting. You're renowned internationally. People here know you really, really well in the States. When you go out on assignment, is it in some way more difficult to report now because you are a presence, people recognize you, that you can't be as kind of you can't kind of disappear in a story as much?
Well, I think we, to be fair and to be honest, once we started reporting live in people's backyards, in other words, once the technology allowed us to have, you know, satellite dishes or the much smaller now technology that we can get ourselves broadcast all over the world from the very place where we're reporting in real time. Mm-hmm. When that started, which was essentially the first Gulf War, and then it got more and more perfected as the years went on, that made us bigger and bigger targets and bigger bullseyes and less and less anonymous and more known in real time. And so that put a level of danger and hardship on us as reporters in real time. Because if you take my job, for instance, I'm a war correspondent. I, you know, basically go into countries and, you know, have to interview the leaders in a harsh and strong manner. I also, whenever I can, shine a spotlight on in those very countries, the dispossessed, the people whose, you know, rights are being whole scale abused. And you know what? The leaders don't like it.
I can imagine.
Right? Yeah. And so it is actually something that starts to weigh quite heavily on a reporter.
Of course. Yeah.
But I just power through.
Yeah.
And the anonymity, you know, it's half a dozen one, half a dozen of the other.
Sure.
It's a blessing and sometimes a curse, but more often a blessing, actually, because I tend to get doors opened for me.
Yeah, because they know you. They know your
yes.
work. Yeah, of course.
They know my work. And actually, what I like most about it, actually, is that they trust me. Uh-huh. And they believe that even if I'm tough, which I am, when I have to be, I'm fair.
Yeah. Well, you're doing an incredible job. We're so lucky to have you on a day like today. And again, sex and love around the world is so interesting. It's so fascinating. I really enjoyed it. I've watched 3 episodes so far, and I'm really excited to finish the rest of the series.
Thank you, Henry.
Thank you so much for being here.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.